Good afternoon, Bay Area. Welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, we're going outside of the studio and traveling back in time to 2024 for our first Sights and Sounds After Dark live event. Writers Nazila Jameson, Norma Smith, and Samiko Sawson shared really, really, really good love poems and love stories, and B. DeVoe delivered beautiful, beautiful music. Then I chat with the lead vocalist for the band Electric X, which is our very own KALW announcer, Tariq Ansari. And so basically, it's kind of like, I guess, like, you know, when love goes wrong, you can still make good songs. Yeah, something like that. Tariq is looking at me right now. Today's theme is all about love. That's all coming up. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. I hope you're in the mood for some love and romance, because today we're going to travel back in time to February 2024 for our first Sights and Sounds After Dark event. You'll hear poetry and music about young love, elderly love, love when one is ill, love that didn't work, and paranormal erotic love with a dead character who has wings. Yeah, so our fabulous lineup of local poets and writers were Nazila Jameson, Norma Smith, and Samiko Sawson. And B. DeVoe blessed us with beautiful acoustic melodies. This all took place at our event space in downtown San Francisco at 220 Montgomery in front of a live audience. Now, just to warn you, this episode is for more mature adult listeners. There'll be themes of sex and drugs mentioned. So, yeah, so just keep that in mind and take a listen and enjoy. Nazila Jameson. Some of y'all probably have heard of Naz. Naz is an excellent host. I'm actually kind of shaking because she's like such a bomb host. And she's a poet, a slam poet, an author, a comedian. She got jokes, vocalist, MC. Her first book of poetry, which I love, is Evolutionary Heart. And it was released under what was then Nomadic Press, as Nomadic Press has with the ancestors. But now we're under Black Lawrence Press, so you can get her book there. It's really, really good. And in her spare time, she enjoys writing horror, screenplays, and saving the day. She hosts this awesome virtual open mic every first and third Fridays on Zoom, so y'all need to check that out. And she does, it's true, she gives the best hugs in the Bay Area, but you have to ask, because we practice consent around here before you get a hug. So, ladies, gentlemen, and fabulous people, come up, Naz.
I told Janae I was bringing love poems. However, you know that there's all different sorts of love poems. So we're going to do some exploring this evening. This here is a love poem because you know it's Black History Month. And you know I'm Black. Oh, and you didn't notice, I'm Black. And this is a love poem to Black people. This is called Be Black With Me. Be Black With Me. Close your eyes and smell the collard greens wafting in the kitchen breeze. Be heady from the fragrance of cocoa butter and fortitude. Sniff of freedom you can barely touch. Come, be black with me. Let's run fast and dance to the beat. Run your fingers through your own nappy curls. Be successful against the odds, like repression was a springboard. Let us be black together. Weather storms as if we are human umbrellas. Fight systemic oppression like MMA champs. Choose to ignore the microaggressions in favor of winning the war. They will wrap their racism in transparent gift paper. Lynch us with condescension instead of rope. Ignite gaslights for us to see by and attempt to camouflage our righteous anger. But we'll be black, inevitable as shadows, timeless as a moonless night, both co-conspirators and witnesses. We must keep each other sane in the midst of the madness they have made. All sorts of love poems. So this is a love poem to the brokenhearted. Who brokenhearted up in here? Why y'all all shy about it? You better be proud. That means we tough. We got claws. Rawr. Okay, This is called alchemy. And when he breaks you, this time, like a brittle riding crop across the back of a wild old beaten horse, pick up the pieces of your liberty and run. When he shatters the transparent, fragile parts of you, which make you open to love and beautiful tragedy, toss the shards high into the air of your darkest night and call them stars. When he dashes your hopes into splinters, sweep them into a pile, pretend they are feathers and glue them to your back. When he fractures your essential boundaries and devotion, mosaic your heart into an exquisitely compelling living sculpture. And when he breaks you, again, this one last time, realize you are whole even when broken. You are a perfect jigsaw puzzle, not a pretty framed destructible picture. Gather and recreate yourself defiantly new. I don't know this person anymore. I wish them well. This is a love poem to the past. It's called Rehab. The last time I saw you, you had no upper teeth. The area flat between your lips and your veiny lower nostrils. It was only that one day, for no other reason except that you laughed. Your amusement park mouth gaped to reveal an entire missing roller coaster track. Looked like you spit out your ivory parts and sold them as crack to random passersby, because you were always a shady drug dealer. Quite unlike the first time I saw you, when your smile sucked me in like wood smoke, burned into my retinas, ignited my dreams, two neat rows of ecstasy tabs addicting my pill-popping heart. Too bad your life is a dirty spoon you spit into and shot yourself up and away. I imagine empty vials and bottles rattle around inside your hollow medicine chest when you throw back your head and laugh. When I asked, what happened to your smile? You told me you were robbed. I think you torched it getting high. You are a sobering carnival attraction. I am in permanent recovery. You are the phantom menace who chases me in my infrequent drunken nightmares, a toothless shadow threatening to devour me, but always 12 steps behind. So it's still Black History Month. It didn't go away the last 5-6 minutes. This is a poem. This is my love poem to Black girls. This is a poem to my mirror. To the chocolate kiss melting on the hot summer sidewalk, because he claimed to love Neapolitan, but his favorite flavor was not you. For mocha ice cream dripping sadly over the edge of the tub, because he only f***ed you late night and never called again. For when he rejected your well-done because you could not be rare and bloody enough. For shelves full of dusty tins of rich cocoa and waiting lists for butterscotch and vanilla extract. For you, Black girl, crying inside because he told you he prefers Jewish girls because they smell like strawberries. Standing outside of his life because you weren't pretty enough to take home to his color-struck mother. For you, mahogany, ebony, onyx, panther, you are the foundation upon which galaxies are suspended. Sun swallower and color fusion, initiation and conclusion of everything. Omnipotence is no consolation, will not save you from the tower of loneliness you have come to call home. But go on. Paint your eyelids sunrise and your lips bright coral. Adorn your fingertips with passion fruit and your toenails with blackberry wine. Wrap yourself in molten lava and be a volcano. Be the universe. Encompass the world. And let that tide you over for now. I loved somebody one time. I have not always been a bitter. So here is a love poem. This is called Still Always. I still write you love poems, still intoxicated into streams of consciousness by the sounds of your exhale or your bare footsteps padding into the carpeted room. Your laughter incites me to haiku or tanka. I want to compose lyrics to the rhythm of your baritone murmurs, a multitude of metaphors solely inspired by your stalwart stride. You are a living, breathing writing prompt. All sentiments are not born into words. I hold my breath when you hug me to contain the sonnets in my chest, swallow verses and stanzas as to not spit adoration all over you and myself. I pen poetic praise with my fingertips on your back, with my lips on your body, never knowing if you hear me enough. Some poetry writes itself. I am merely a conduit, here to document an inadequate portion of your divine magic and the effect it has gratefully had on my heart. Only God will ever read this entire volume of love poems for you. I just want you to know I still write them. In notebooks and computer apps, in my brain and my blood cells, for you and for myself, they go on in perpetuity, as does love, and as do you. So this is my last piece, and it's for the lover I've had since I've been in California. So this is my love poem to Oakland. Oakland is your cousin's good-natured kind of ghetto crackhead girlfriend. The one he cheats on all the others with in between violent breakups and smoldering makeups. The one who's your favorite, making you something to eat because y'all were both up at 3 a.m. because neither of y'all could sleep. Oakland offers you a hit off her pipe. You shake your head. She giggles. Baby, this is just some weed. I'm about to take my to bed. You doze off on the love seat, dreams filled with staccato gunshots and circle eights in side street intersections. Oakland doesn't mean to be a existence has brought her down. That'll happen after a while to predominantly brown folks. She loves to kick it with big spenders and those who like to build. Her aspirations are Brooklyn size. Her suitors come and go. Your cousin doesn't care, because half the time he doesn't know. Her glittering gold grin glinting off her tears like Lake Merritt in the sunshine, blinding everyone to her own loneliness and despair, finding love at the liquor store in a pack of top ramen and some cheap beer. Oakland will rip off her wig and snatch out her earrings just so she can have your back. What she lacks in table manners, she makes up for in leonine protection, still searching for her place in this world, still hoping for inexpensive affection. Oakland will pick your daughter up from jail, where your sits arrested at 4 a.m. Oakland can't afford your bail, but she'll try her best to secure you a street loan. And well, she might have to sell all your while you're gone, but you'll forgive her. She'll soon be coming around the corner in your cousin's beat-up scraper, bringing blunts and smiles and hugs and all the other comforts of home. Thank you.
Ooh, I love an Oakland poem in San Francisco. That's so Oakland to do an Oakland poem in San Francisco. Shout out to the folks from Oakland. I'm from East Oakland, so that, yes, Oakland in the house. Give it up for Nas. I told y'all she was dope. Everybody on here is dope, so next up, somebody else who I know, because we were all under Nomadic Press, is Norma Smith. Norma Smith is a community scholar and social researcher based here in the Bay. She was born in Detroit. Detroit, all right. Grew up in Fresno. And she has worked as a journalist and editor. And her writing has been published in scholarly, literary, and political journals. Her first book of poems, Home Remedy, you can get from Black Lawrence Press, and it's also a great book as well. And I'm so happy she's here. Y'all give it up for Norma Smith.
So you'll see how these are love poems, or prose pieces, actually. Silence, a personal history. It's 5:28 a.m. I am struggling to arrive at my makeshift desk. The clutter welcomes and repels me. Clumps of soggy Kleenex litter the surface. The wastebasket just beyond reach. Coffee steams close at hand in a mug sporting the logo of a neighborhood bookstore that closed 2 years ago, well before the pandemic gripped us. I'm not usually late for deadlines. My dog has been needy. I did not make all the phone calls to politicians and potential voters that I had promised myself to make. Phone banking. Is it a delusion or a commitment to a possible future? It's a connection. Even when they hang up on you, it means they are responding to something they hear you say. This week has kept me not so much silent as muttering under my breath, unintelligible. Complicated dreams wake me and force me toward the flimsy wooden platform where my laptop rests. The chair wraps its arms around my waist and promises to hold me until I have finished a second draft. The desk and chair chorus, "Sit still with us and write." The universe and my words are going to hell holding hands, leaning against each other, but failing to hold each other up. We smolder in parallel, sometimes overlapping infernos. I know my perdition might look like greener grass from someone else's perspective. I discovered as a very young child the power of words and stopped using them out loud. My grandmother's severe command, "Don't contradict me," taught me that any question I might formulate constituted a challenge to her authority, punishable by what? I didn't want to find out. This made it impossible to speak. It took me years of effort to learn to talk. I stay with my partner in his early dementia, remain present with him as his cognition dulls. Dan and I live pretty well together, often silent, as his loss of short-term memory, his loss of hearing, and my surprising accumulation of patience permeate our time together. His memory may be out of order, but his hand still knows the exact spot at the small of my back where it first touched me. One evening 2 years ago, Dan called me 3 times in 15 minutes to ask what time I was coming over. That was when I started spending 3 or 4 nights each week with him instead of 2 or 3. When COVID-19 came into our lives, it was clear that I should just move in with him, to cook so he wouldn't be tempted to go out for meals, to make small and smaller talk so he would have company besides whatever was going on, ever more haltingly, perhaps, in his own head. I have been camping out in his house since mid-March. Since mid-July, we have spent most of our time inside, out of the smoky air as California burns around us. We open the windows when we can. We walk in the neighborhood when we can. I wish I were hanging out with my 3-year-old granddaughter as she hones her language. Before the plague, I would pass at least 2 afternoons every week with her. After the pandemic arrived, we would meet up at the Berkeley Marina or some other outdoor windy place to fly kites or hike. Since the smoke, I have visited her inside her house twice. I want to guard my fear, not risk passing infection in either direction. I have a strong desire to be alive in her life 10 years from now. She already confides in me her tribulations. "I'm just curious," she queries me. "Why do I have to nap at school? I'm not sleepy. I'm playish." We all have questions about the constraints demanded of us these days. I am in awe of her ability to articulate her feelings. She describes how she knows she's going to cry when she doesn't want to nap at daycare. Her daddy, an essential worker like his wife, tries to reassure her. "That happens to me too. My stomach hurts when I'm worried." She corrects him. "It doesn't hurt. I just feel the crying coming up. starting in my belly. I am doing what I can to keep Dan going for as long as possible. I continue in his house, apportioning his pills and being sure he takes them, making doctor's appointments for him and driving him to them, taking him to the emergency room when he develops a painful condition linked to his inability to remember to perform crucial bodily functions. The house is quiet by the end of the day, as our adjacent abysses darken around us and soften. Talk falls away. Just before dawn, I return to my desk.
Thank you, Norma, for that. I'm so excited about this lineup that we have tonight because we just have some awesome people. And this person is sitting in a chair with the guitar. I heard them perform a few years ago at New Parish in Oakland. I think that's, yeah. And they were just, and so I was like, if I ever do a live show, I want this person to perform. And so the Lord heard me. And so I'm so happy that B. DeVoe, who is 23 years old and like on fire, is a non-binary neo-soul artist and composer hailing from my town, the town, Oakland, California. Yeah. And they've been surrounded by art and vibrancy from a young age. They still young, so. But they've been surrounded by art and vibrancy practically their whole lives. So get ready to get drifted away in the sounds of B. DeVoe.
Thank you. Hello, hello. This is a song that I wrote in 2020, and it's called Believe in Love. This is a song that was really like birthed from a place of me hearing about my like close friend's love story and just hearing about how she felt about him. And I don't know, I had like a Stevie Wonder moment. I was like, I want to write a beautiful love song. And this is what came out of it. This is called Believe in Love. Love is like a shooting star. It'll come out of nowhere and shine where you are. Love will take you on a ride where your heart and your soul are on the outside. You can't hide. No, no, you can't hide. No, no, love is deeper than the ocean. It'll float you to safety when you're open. Love will stand through the rain. It'll comfort you in darkness and wash away the pain. Oh, love. Oh, love, love, love. Love can come in the silence. It can come when you don't decide it. Love can creep up on you and get into your heart when you don't want it to. Sometimes love can hurt. And sometimes we don't get what we deserve. But in time, it will work. You just gotta trust and believe. Believe in love. Whoa. Believe in love. Yeah. Just believe, believe, 'cause it believes in you. Na, 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 na. It believes in you. You can trust it too. Just believe, believe in love. Thank you. I'm guessing y'all can hear me, right? All right. Thank you so much. This next song is called Dear B. This is a song that really I wrote for myself turning 23. My mom told me to write myself a letter. And instead of doing, well, I actually wrote myself a letter too. But I was like, okay, but let me write myself a song, you know, because I feel like a lot of the time I'm trying to encompass life and find a way to reflect with my music. And I was like, okay, but let's reflect on, like, you know, what's happened in the past 23 years. And so this song is just about that and basically creating a safe space for yourself and loving yourself enough to, you know, provide that solace and solitude. I hope you enjoy. Walking on this road so long, you seem to be singing the same old song. You need to breathe. You are me. I know that you wish you were farther ahead. I know that you wish you were maybe in a different place. But understand that there's a reason there is a way. Oh, take my hand. I'll lead you to a safe place. Lead you to a safe place. Safe place. Lead you to a safe place. Safe place. I'll lead you to a safe place. Safe place. I'll lead you to a safe place. A safe place. Caught up in your head. You get caught up on the things you shouldn't have said. You're still so young. Rising and falling and rising again, just like the sun. I know that you wish you were farther ahead. I know that you wish you were maybe in a different place. But understand that there's a reason there is a way. Oh, take my hand. I'll lead you to a safe place. I lead you to a safe place, safe place. I lead you to a safe place, safe place. I lead you to a safe place, a safe place. I lead you to a safe place, a safe place. I lead you to a safe place. Let me be a safe place. Let me be a safe space. I will be a safe place. I will be a safe place for you. I will be a safe place for you. Let me be a safe place. I will be your safe place. Let me be your safe place. Let me be your safe place. I will be your safe. Oh, I will be your safe. I will be yours. So much. Oh, wow. I appreciate it. This song is called I Didn't Ask For This, and it kind of encompasses, you know, when you fall in love and you didn't plan on it, nor did you ask for it. You know, you didn't really plan on this person coming into your life and, you know, changing your whole perspective. And I actually wrote this when I was like 16 or 17, so it's kind of funny, and I love it. I'm still gonna sing it, you know, probably till I'm like at least 30, so I hope you enjoy. I mean, cause songs get old, okay, I'm just saying, you know, you get sick of singing them, but I hope you enjoy. Myself fall, and I'll pick up the pieces later. So I guess I let myself fall, and I'll pick up the pieces later on. Just praying I don't get a broken heart, cause I've already felt that part, and I know how it feels, and that's why I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this, no, no, no. Oh, 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 I didn't ask for you to give up what you had. I didn't want you to fall for me too. So I guess guess I'll just have to keep on trying not to let you fall too hard. And then I know that you can fall as hard as I do. But I didn't ask for this. No, 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 no. I didn't want it, but now I'm falling and I can't stop it. Ooh, all I wanna know, I just wanna know that you'll catch me if I fall. Will you catch me if I fall? Will you catch me if I fall? Or would you let me fall? Or would you just let me fall? Let me fall. Would you just let me fall? Or would you catch me if I fall?
Thank you so much.
Okay. Y'all keep it going. Yay! Keep it going for Deidre Love. So, y'all good? Y'all still with me? Yeah, y'all still feeling good? All right. And coming up next is someone who I just really respect and who has been a part of the literary community here for a long time. Sumiko Sawson is the author of the Bram Stoker nominated The Rat King, a book of dark poetry, and an award-winning author of Afro-Surrealist and multicultural sci-fi and horror, whose sequel to Happiness and Other Diseases, Somnali, which they're going to read from tonight, is available on Mocha Memoirs Press, and you can find them on SumikoSawson.com. And when you go to klw.org, we'll have links to everybody's works and websites and stuff. So, bring it up, give it up for Sumiko.
Okay, this is a little later. A little later, a little smuttier too. Comfort. So now this is complicated because he literally is dead, but that's okay. It's a paranormal romance, and you know, they're still together because hey. Comfort. For the first time in 3 years, he slept with Charlotte in his arms. It was strange to be asleep and dreaming of sleep, but it seemed that both of them were doing so. He was on his side, leaning slightly backwards, with her body partially covering his. She was leaning on one side with her face buried in his chest. One of his arms was wrapped around her hip and with his hand over the small of her back. The other arm was over her back, with his fingers buried in her hair. He could feel her breath against his skin, soft and steady. He loved the weight of her pressing against him. He pulled her closer up against him and covered her face in kisses until she awakened. "Charlotte, I," he began to speak, but his voice was choked with tears. "Shh," she said, kissing his lips. "At last, you're here. I've waited for so long." She was the same old Charlotte, loving, but never too gentle. Her tender kisses gave way to rough, hungry nibbles. She shoved him over onto his back, holding him down so she could taste him. He gasped when she bit his lip. He returned her kisses with the heat of desperation, fearing they would be the last kisses. His body responded to her as if his world was one that might never include kisses again. Their hands and fingers found all of the secret places that had been lost to them. Their bodies told the story of need, loss, and separation. She threw her arms around him, and her fingers stroked his feathers. Sorry, he has feathers. He's been dead for a while. So he's got these black, like, cool wings. See, wait, there you go. She stopped kissing him and said his name, her face against his neck, Flynn. She broke free from his embrace and looked at him. Your tattoo is stunning. You are so beautiful. I want to remember everything. So when I wake, I can draw you. Show me all of you. So they can only see each other in dreams. It's kind of like if you're old, you remember Lady Hawk or whatever. Her touch was delicious. She ran her fingers up his calf, tracing the line of the snake tattoo. She put her hand on his leg, touching and caressing the sensitive skin of his inner thigh. He rolled forward a little so she could see the part of the tattoo that ran from the back of his leg. He felt her finger running along the curve at the bottom of his buttock, and she followed the tattoo back over his hip and up the side of his waist. Her fingers poked and prodded at the slightly raised flesh over his chest. She stroked his skin until she reached the opposite end of the tattoo. Where it ended, she could see the snake's head curled down just under his collarbone. Charlotte kissed him in the crook of his neck. Her lips and tongue traced the spots where her fingers had been. He shuddered, and his wings began to flutter in response. He pulled her closer. He was afraid he would awaken and she would be gone. I didn't think I was going to see you again, he said. Your family told me that I wouldn't see you for a very long time. I've been staying with them, you know. They were in bed. Flynn sat up and let his legs hang over the edge so that she could straddle him. She sat on him, facing him with her legs bent at the knee. For the first time since he gained them, his wings were unfettered. He felt them stretch to either side, caressed by the air. They didn't hurt any longer. His other hand explored her body, taking note of the changes caused by 3 years of time and 9 months of pregnancy. All right, she had a baby while he was dead. She wrapped her legs around his waist, whispered into his ear, "Pick me up, love." He didn't think he would be strong enough to do it, but he obeyed her command. He was surprised to find this was something he could do now quite easily. He wasn't human anymore. He put both of his arms around her, pulling her against him so she wouldn't slide down. To be stronger than her, to hold her like this was so strange, so very different for him. It was exciting to think about having so much more power and willingly relinquishing it to her.
That was the 2024 Sights and Sounds After Dark lineup featuring writers Nazila Jameson, Norma Smith, and Samiko Sawson. B. DeVoe was our musical guest, and thanks to KLW's executive producer, Ben Trefney, and our events team for their help that night. Coming up, an indie rock band that makes having a broken heart sound so good. Stay with us. Listening to the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darden, on KLW 91.7 FM. And that music you hear is from the local band Electric X. The three band members create music that is a blend of indie rock, electronica, new wave, and other genres. Their album Analog Therapy was recorded live in studio. Tariq Ansari is the lead vocalist of Electric X, and if his name sounds familiar, that's because, yes, he is one of KLW's awesome announcers, and he's actually doing announcing right now. But in this interview, Tariq is in rock star mode, and I spoke with Tariq about his album back in April of 2026. Take a listen. Okay, so you're part of this band, Electronic X, which includes your bandmates. Is it Benham the Venom? Barbati?
Yes.
Okay, and Venom?
Yes, Venom, the Venom by our body, yeah.
Okay, that's the name. The name got a beat to it. All right, so he's on drums. Mark Hernandez is on bass. And you, Tark,
yes,
are on vocals. Okay, so how did y'all get together? Yeah. How did y'all form this band? Tell us.
It was weird. It was before I even moved to San Francisco. I saw a Craigslist ad that said, hey, I like music. I'm not great at it, but if you're like me, let's all get in a room and find out what we play. And as a gentleman named Trevor, we all got into a room, and then I just got on the keyboards and went, and they're like, okay, you're the singer. I'm like,
because
I never have done it before. That was it. And then Mark just started playing some bass, even though he usually plays guitar. A few other guys were like, we're not into this. And they just didn't come back next time. And then a year later, Benham, we were looking for a drummer. Benham came along, and that's how we became a band. It just happened very organically. And over time, we just started feeling things out together.
And you guys been together since 2021?
Yeah, 2021, summer of 2021, when I moved out to the city.
That's when the magic happened. Okay, so what's the name behind Electric X?
So Electric from Electric X, the first word comes from a song called Our Friends Electric by Tubeway Army, although it's really Gary Newman. It's one of the most famous synth pop songs. It basically started synth pop in the late 70s. Always loved that song. And then X comes from the fact that a lot of music that I've lyrically been inspired by, and I'm sure the other members will say the same thing, has been from our exes. Like I unfortunately have not a good number of exes, but some breakups that left a mark. But luckily, you know, sometimes good music comes out of that. So Electric X kind of had a ring to it, and we all really liked it. So we went with that.
Yeah, because I picked up on that about the X.
How'd you do that?
Well, Tark, I listened to your album. I was okay. And that's why we have clips so the folks at home or on the road, wherever they are, can get an idea of some themes in your music. So I want to play one of the songs from your album, Analog Therapy, and the song is called Go Away. What's the inspiration behind that song? I like it because it's upbeat, you know, but the lyrics, it sounds like it's some issues going on here, but, you know, it's Electric X, so it's about the X-ness.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Darden. You are right.
Hey.
I really have always liked songs that had a very happy sound to them, but had such sad lyrics. The Beach Boys, I think, especially Brian Wilson's songs, really hit me like that. And never going to write anything remotely close to what he did, but I went through a really difficult breakup about a year and a half ago. And especially right after, I was just really, really not in a great place. I didn't want to talk to anybody, which is weird because I'm an announcer, so I kind of have to. I didn't want to like interact. I was in a very bad place. And literally what came out was, go away, just leave me be. I think I'm going to have a heart attack, but I want to do it away from everyone. I just want to, it's very, very sad. Like I want to be alone in the corner and go away from everything that's happening, because the pain of being around people after, you know, something like the way it ended up transfixing the breakup was just too much. So when we were writing the song, the music came first, and then it just like go away, just that came naturally, just the feeling of, you know, it's upbeat, but the reality is much more sadder than that. And it's one of probably the most personal song I've ever written lyrically.
So, okay, I get the Electric X. So now we had Analog Therapy. So how does that play into the whole Electric X?
Yeah, it was therapy, just writing all these songs and, like, you know, just even being in a band and being able to play with these amazing guys, Mark and Benham. We all write these songs together, and it was therapeutic to just do that, to get my mind off of being so, just so sad, especially early last year. And I'm sorry if you even saw that yourself working at KALW. but I was in a rough place. So that's where the therapy part comes. Analog, though, we recorded this at Trackworks Studio in South San Francisco with the amazing Rajiv Naidu, former professor at SF State that I had. And we recorded all on tape, literally all of it, live in studio on tape. You would probably, the same production value as an album from the mid 70s. It was all on a tape machine from the early 70s. And we just like the idea of it's all analog, but it's also therapy. You put them together and it's like, oh, well, this, you know, has a kind of a 70s feel to it too.
Yeah.
So that's how it became analog therapy and very therapeutic, I must say.
So what was it like recording in the studio onto tape and then to us as old machines from the 70s? I just feel like the energy in there would have been just really cool.
It was really cool energy. We'd recorded before at like Hyde Street on digital equipment and even at San Francisco State, you know, so we had been in a studio before, but with tape, I mean, it's not like you can just cut release. You have to like redo the entire take, especially if you're doing the entire thing live. So we've really had to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. And I will tell you right now, I am the worst musician in the band as far as playing ability. Mark and Benham, particularly Benham, just maestros. So every single song we rehearsed heavily for, and we did it all, like all the backing tracks in the studio, one take each for each song in one day. So all 10 tracks, we didn't do a second take of any of them because we just, you know, we felt like we got what we wanted live the first time around.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. And it was so cool just going into the control room and hearing that tape sound, that like that little analog grittiness and just like that saturation, the tape saturation when things get really loud.
Yeah.
And I love that. And we decided like, you know what? This is how we want it to sound on Spotify. And that's how it sounds. There's very little done to the recording that we put on that tape. So what you're hearing is basically a tape, you know, the tape right there.
That was Tariq Ansari, lead vocalist for the band Electric X. Their album is called Analog Therapy, and you can follow them online to check out one of their live shows. And we'll have a link on the Sights and Sounds page. That's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds show with Janae Darton. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rango, and our board operator slash rock star, Tariq Ansari. And thank you for tuning in. I hope you got all filled up with love, listening to love, good love, love that went wrong, love that went right, love that went left, love, love, love. Anyway, in other words, I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll have another great show for you right here next Wednesday at 4 p.m. And if you can't listen live, make sure to download the show on NPR app, KLW app, Spotify app, or wherever you get your podcast. So anyway, until then, be good to yourselves and each other. Oh, and also too, you can listen online at KLW.org. Okay. Until then, be good to yourselves and each other. Take care.